The Bible is made of two parts, right? Old Testament and New Testament. And that's what Jeremiah 31 and the other verses I read is about. Except that the word Old Testament isn't used and New Testament isn't used, but covenant, new covenant, and New Testament is a new covenant. Covenant just means agreeing. Two people agreeing. But the thing that makes the word covenant different is that the senior one brings the whole thing to pass. The junior one agrees with it and is bound by it. So it's not an equal agreement between two equals, but in this case, an agreement made by God with people. Now, the Old Testament was an agreement made by God with the people of the Jews. And it was based on them doing something right. God said he would be their God and look after them and do everything for them. If. Now there's always a big if. And that if was, if they could keep the commandments and the things he said absolutely perfectly without ever failing in any one of them ever, he'd look after them perfectly. And who managed to do it? Nobody. Well, it might be that Enoch did, for he was taken to heaven when he wasn't very old, only 300. What a loss of life he missed out. But the Lord took him to be with him. He was so special. But that was in a day when most people lived to be 600, 700, 800, 900. And that was in order that people might multiply on the earth. So, Jeremiah 31 says the Lord is saying, 600 years before Christ, the Lord will say he's going to make a new covenant, a new testament. And because we are not capable of doing the things that he commands, it's going to be completely new. And the Lord Jesus is going to be the one whose covenant it is. If we believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, then the Lord will look after us, take us to heaven, to be with him forever. But like that last hymn, it's not just believing with your head, it's loving him. Now, we're going to work backwards from verse 34 to 33 to learn what this new covenant was. When I was a boy, when I was delivering my papers and I go around reading the paper, I'd always start at the back page. Most of you know why. It was the sports page. But here's an example where a text is best worked out from the end. I'll show you why. I'll read it to you again. The days come, says the Lord, when I will make a new covenant. Not according to the covenant that I made with their fathers. They broke that covenant. But this shall be the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel. I will do three things. I will put my law in their hearts. I will be their God, and they shall be my people. And they shall teach no more every man his neighbor, and every man his brother, saying, you must get to know the Lord, because they shall all know me. But what brings these three things to pass? They shall all know me, says the Lord, for I will forgive their iniquity and remember their sin no more. It's a good question, isn't it? How do we get to know the Lord? How is it that we don't just believe there is a God, but have got to know him for ourselves, individually? Had a meeting with him that's led on to other meetings, and the loving of the Lord Jesus more than anything. How? Why? It's because he says he will forgive our iniquity and remember their sin no more. So first of all, for Jesus to mean anything to us, we've got to be concerned about how sinful we are. If we don't realize that, if we don't care, if we don't worry, if it doesn't bother us, if it doesn't understand, then being a Christian is just out of the question. But the Lord has put conscience in the hearts of men and women and boys and girls. And to begin, we need hearts that say something like, I was unkind to somebody today and it bothers me. What can I do to make it up? There's probably nothing you can do. But there must be that mind. I did this, I said that, and it troubles me. And it can happen that we do things and say things and don't seek God's forgiveness, that 25 years later, we're beginning to meet somebody and they cross to the other side of the road because they don't want to be near us. But both know how it all started. Forgiveness. It is the thing that we all need. Forgiveness from God. Why do we need forgiveness? It's because we have not obeyed God's word. The Lord loves obedience more than anything. Children hate obedience. And they grow up to be teenagers that hate it even more. And they grow up to be protesters who hate it even more. I don't mean protesters of our day, but protesters against Christ, protesters against the church. When the Lord gives a command, thou shalt not steal. Thou shalt not swear. That actually is one of Jesus' commands, not in the ten. Thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain. Honour thy father and mother. Not to mention more important ones, like loving God with all our heart and mind and soul. If we can't obey those, then we're sinners. And we begin by understanding not just that we're sinners, but that how bad a thing it is to be a sinner. What an insult it is to God. He's made this world. When I pray the Lord's Prayer, which I do nearly every day when I'm praying, Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. To the millions of Japan who worship ancestors, to the millions of the East who worship idols, to false religions and people of no religion, do they respect God? Do they hallow God? No, they're all sinners. And we are all sinners before the Lord comes to our hearts and we know him. So it all begins with saying to the Lord, not so much that we're dreadfully sorry that we've done it, because we might mean it's been a bit of a disadvantage to ourselves. But Lord, we've angered you. You're against us. We've done things that you hate. And we've done it more than once. And so we come. And we ask God, would you forgive a person like me? Would you enable a person like me to begin all over again? And that's why Jesus has given, the Father has given this new testament, this new covenant. We cannot save ourselves. But Jesus, who did no sin, came to die upon the cross. Why? In order that he might be punished instead of you, instead of me. A marvelous death, because he was punished for you and for me, but all of us together, all at once. Whoever was a death like it? Wasn't a meaningless death. The Lord, because he'd not sinned, was able to bear the punishment for all those who would believe in him if they sought him for the pardon that they desperately needed and which the Lord Jesus earned on Calvary. So serious is sin, is that it needs death to put it right. So serious is sin, that even God's Son could not be spared death if his people were to go to heaven, because no more sin can ever be in heaven. It can never happen again. Everybody in heaven has to be perfect. And how do we become perfect? The Lord counts those who trust in the Saviour. And do know their sins were forgiven when the Lord Jesus bore the punishment of them on Calvary. The Lord counts them as being on his side. He counts them as belonging to Jesus. And because they belong to Jesus and are in him, then they're pardoned, they're forgiven, they're ready to go to heaven. 100 years later, 50 years later, 10 years later, a day later, whatever. So we start at the back in this text. The new covenant begins with the Lord Jesus forgiving iniquity and remembering sin no more. So, how? How do I get to know God? We get to know the Lord Jesus, who is the Son of God. And if we've seen the Lord Jesus, we've seen the heart of the Father. How do we get to know him? Think of a sin. Think of more than one sin. Think of coming to the Lord Jesus to pardon you that sin and to remove the anger of God from you. Think about the price he paid for you, unworthy you and me. And you come to the Lord Jesus and you say, forgive me this sin, I'm not worthy of your love and of your death for me. And when we're doing something like that, it differs from each person, but something along those lines, then the Lord Jesus Christ makes it known to our heart, as he does in the New Testament, thy sins are forgiven thee. And that's the moment. When he speaks to us about our sins and says they're forgiven, then we know God. That's the moment. That's the time when we belong to God and when we know we do. And when the whole of our perspective on life changes because of this, never the same again. I will forgive their iniquity and I will remember their sins no more. So the Lord says, because of that, he will do three things. And we go from verse 33. I will put my law in their inward parts and write it in their hearts. I used to steal when I was a boy. I'm ashamed of it. My conscience used to remind me of the people I'd stolen from. and think how difficult it was for them in their shop to make a profit. And it was a trouble. It was part of the reason why I came to the Saviour, to seek his forgiveness. I had no idea whether he would forgive me for such a thing. But he did. And because of that, nobody needs to tell me, don't steal. It's in my heart not to steal. The Lord paid a dreadful price to pardon me from stealing and other things. I'm not going to do it again. And that's what he means by saying, I will put my law in their inward parts and write it in their hearts. And then, secondly, and I will be their God and they shall be my people. So, we're English, I think everybody here, we're British. But that doesn't count for most. It's important to be patriotic. But we really, if we belong to Christ and if our sins have been forgiven and the Lord has put it in our hearts to keep his law, then our citizenship is in heaven. We belong, we're citizens of the living God and of the Lord Jesus Christ and the Holy Spirit. This is the main place where our priorities lie. We love the Lord Jesus Christ above everything else. And when we get to heaven, this is the one thing that will bind everybody together. Doesn't matter if they live before Christ or after Christ. Doesn't matter whether they're in the Far East, the Far West, or the Middle East. They will all say, we were pardoned because of Jesus. And we love him because we were pardoned. And that's where we'll all agree. And that's where our prayers will be. I will be their God. And they shall be my people. And they shall teach no more every man his neighbour and every man his brother, saying, know the Lord, for they shall all know me, from the least of them unto the greatest of them, saith the Lord. I don't know how many of you have been Sunday school teachers, but if there's one thing that gets a Sunday school teacher, it is that the Sunday school teacher is constantly saying to the children, come to the Lord Jesus, meaning get to know him. Come to know the Lord Jesus Christ. Spurgeon once said, I only quote him loosely, but Spurgeon once said, addressing parents, till your children are saved, you haven't done anything. But we will have no more need to say to children or to say to grown-ups, you should know the Lord, because they will know him if they're believers. And it will be the forgiveness of their sins personally granted to them by the Lord Jesus himself that will have made them know the Lord. That's when I met him. That's when I know he cared for me. That's when I valued the work on Calvary to take my sin away. I know him. I don't need to be taught to know him. I know him. I meet with him. Talk with him every day. He's a friend that sticketh closer than a brother. So the New Testament or the New Covenant is not like the old one where you had to make sure you did everything right. The New Testament in Christ is where sinners who've got everything wrong can come to the Lord Jesus for pardon. For being made new, that they may be right with God. Well, that's just a summary. But there it is, it's easy to remember. Jeremiah 31:31, and the verses that follow. The prophetic description of the new covenant days, the New Testament days of the Lord Jesus Christ was mentioned today. That Jesus only ever quoted from the Old Testament. He is the author of the New. And until he went to be with the Lord in heaven's glory, there was no New Testament written, it had begun in people's hearts. Can you imagine what people who were healed, raised from the dead, or the parents who saw it happen, can you imagine their loyalty to Christ? And are we going to be any different? Are we not going to go to him? Are we not going to know the Lord Jesus? Are we not going to be loved by him? Are we always going to have a troubled conscience? Surely not. But the Bible speaks of knowing Christ. Trust that we'll come to him through the confession of our sins. Amen.